And welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, recipes, interconnectedness, relationships, love, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
And we're excited about the show today. We have a wonderful guest in the studio here with us as we are holding the space for love, relationships, and being present in today's show. If you're a little disheartened by what is going on in the world, or if you are in awe about the beauty of this life, or crazy in love, either way, this might just be exactly the show for you. All that and more on this week's Organic Conversation.
You know, Helge, it's interesting because we talk a lot about being present to flavor and to our relationship to the land. And so I think it's
What was that? Sorry, I didn't. Kidding. Yes, that's what the entire show is all about, being present.
Sorry, I wasn't listening to you. And so it makes sense that we're doing a show on human relationships and being present in our own relationships to each other. So I'm really looking forward to this show. But before we get into that, first, it's the Green Headlines with Jen Lloyd.
Thank you, Mark. Farmers markets are rapidly becoming one of the best ways to boost your local economy. According to the Union of Concerned Scientists, the number of local markets has more than doubled in the past decade. The recent study by the UCS claims that the government could encourage the stabilization of local economies by investing more money in initiatives that could support farmers markets, potentially creating more than 13,000 new jobs over a five-year period. Furthermore, the money generated by these markets keeps revenues local, additionally benefiting those communities. Findings made by scientists at Oregon State University show that one of the primary chemicals in broccoli and other related vegetables can selectively target and kill cancer cells. The phytochemical sulforaphane has previously been shown to work as a cancer preventative agent, but this is the first study to suggest that it can help fight cancer already present in the body. These study results suggest that everyone should make sulforaphane-rich foods like broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, and so on a regular part of their diet for better health, says Elizabeth Pivanka, president and CEO of the Produce for Better Health Foundation. And in other related news, a recent study by researchers at UCSF suggests that a holistically healthy lifestyle reduces the chance of developing Alzheimer's disease. Poor nutrition is one of the leading causes of the disease worldwide, and a diet rich in foods, lean proteins, fruits and vegetables, along with conscious weight management, and of course avoiding smoking, can significantly reduce your risk for Alzheimer's. I'm Jen Lloyd, and those are the Green Headlines. Back to you, Helga.
Yes. Thanks, Jen. A healthier lifestyle makes you healthier.
Yes.
Who knew? Well, Okay, you're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg. That was the Green Headlines with Jen Lloyd. Thanks, Jen, again. We'll take a quick break, but stay tuned for our first interview with Wendy Strigar, the author of Good Clean Love, as we are making love today here on An Organic Conversation. More of that when we come back right after the break. Stay tuned. And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I want to start with a poem from one of my favorite authors, Hafiz. The subject tonight is love. The subject tonight is love, and for tomorrow night as well. As a matter of fact, I know of no better topic for us to discuss until we all die. So today's show is all about love, relationships, and being present. As we said in the beginning, we talk a lot about our relationship to food, our relationship to the environment, and being present to flavor and taste on this show. It's amazing what happens when we actually become present to the myriad of relationships that are creating all of our interactions. For example, everything that contributes to our food alone every day, the seed as an extension from thousands of generations that have gone before, the weather, the soil, and the life in the soil, the bees, the sun, the farmer, the cook at home or the chef at the restaurant that we love to go to, the spices, everything contributes to our experience. There's a world of interconnectedness that can make you drunk with happiness when you become present to it. The same is true for our relationships with one another. Everything that creates us meeting anew, and being with someone every day. Our topic for today's show is love and being present to the relationships that make up our experience and really define the quality of our lives. With us in the studio is no less but Wendy Strugar, the author, entrepreneur, and lover whose mission is to encourage sustainable, loving relationships all the way from Eugene, Oregon. Welcome to the show, Wendy.
Thanks for having me today. I'm really excited to be here with you.
It's amazing. It's an honor for us because Mark and I are both avid fans of your blog. We stumbled upon your beautiful blog posts every week, every other day. Mm-hmm. And there's a tone in your blogs that is unusual. That is what we are trying to create with this show every week, very much in line, only somewhat different topic, really, as it is all about relationships. And we discovered a world of authentic conversation about relationships and being present, in this case, to love and intimacy. You really started off as in homeopathy and as a natural healthcare service agent and change agent. What led you to become a voice for that kind of authentic conversation about intimacy?
Well, so I call myself a loveologist, so I'm just going to say that right up front.
PhD.
And well, here's the thing: there's nobody. You can't get a degree in it. Actually, there you can get a degree in volcanology if you want, but you know, there's even a word for philematology, which is the study of kissing. You know, but we don't actually have an official study of love
yet.
But I'm actually hoping that if I ever hit it big, I'm going to pay off the University of Oregon to make a chair of loveology. Yeah.
Mark and I are working on a curriculum and you already...
Yeah, so actually we can all kind of, you know, conspire to create that together. Because the truth is that there are really actually some skills. Love is actually a skill-based activity and that means it's developmental. You can get better at it. And I started Good Clean Love because, you know, intimacy products, you know, I've been married for 30 years to the same man. So I've been making love to the same man for 30 years. And I have probably the best sex of any woman you'd ever meet at this age who's been married for 30 years. So that's what kind of makes me a loveologist right there.
And enjoy your comments and questions. Please send them to share at anorganicconversation.com. I thought that was the right time for a little plug.
Please,
there.
Yes, for sure, call in.
But when you talk about it, you talk about the physical intimacy and sex, and you talk about intimacy through the heart.
Well,
and
right, because
those are completely connected.
Well, yeah. So I actually feel like, you know, when I would go around and be teaching people about the ingredients of intimacy products, that's how the whole thing started. I didn't know I was a loveologist when I began, right? I just knew I was trying to find a product that didn't make me sick. And so 95% of the stuff on the market is actually made with parabens, which are carcinogenic, found in breast cancerous tissue, and made with petrochemicals like propylene glycol, polyethylene glycol. At the beginning, I was afraid to tell anybody what I found out because I thought somebody would sue me. But, you know, as I grew up a little bit, I realized that, you know, that was really important information because if you have sexual issues, which, you know, 4 out of 10 people walking on the planet do, so it's more common to have it than not common practically. And then you add petrochemicals to the mix, you know, then you get to have burning and itching too. It's a total
great
real party.
Yeah, it's a party.
And so,
and itching only goes that far.
Yeah, so, but the love thing really started because I was actually trying to do the love in my own life. And even after 30 years, I mean, that's still really my life work. And when people would come to my booth, they wouldn't ask me the easy questions like, how do you use this lubricant? You know, they would ask me the hard questions like, why won't my wife ever have sex with me? They'd ask me, why won't my husband husband talk to me? You know, how can I get him to show up for me? They would ask me these really hard questions. And, you know, lo and behold, I was a loveologist.
And you said, use this balm and everything will be.
Actually, I would probably have made more money if I said, just take this bottle home.
Right.
But the truth was that I knew that all the most miraculous love product in the world will not work if you're not loving each other. And sometimes people would come in the booth and I could see just from how they were looking at each other that no lube was going to do it for them.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to tell them the truth, you know, and
yes.
And so my book.
And you did?
I did. Some of them walked away quite disgruntled. Others were like, started to cry in the booth, and others were like, oh my God. And that's how I started writing my blog, because really people were the ones that guided me in what I was trying to explain. And what I think it's so beautiful that I get to be with you on the organic conversation is that, you know, relationships are organic. You know, we always focus on the fire. That's the sex part. And I always talk about it as fire because I didn't want to be censored, you know, but you can't build a fire on land, you know, on the ground, like a marsh, you know, fire will not start on a marsh.
We're talking with Wendy Strugar today, the author of Love That Works, a guide to enduring intimacy, who is one of the women at the, what did you say, for 38 years married, happily married,
30.
Having
30.
Incredible
amazing
sex every day.
Yeah.
In this show today here on an Organic Conversation, I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
As we are discovering the world of listening and being present.
And so, Wendy, in listening to your answer to that first question, I was going, okay, so where does your inspiration for all these great blogs come from? And I'm thinking it comes from yourself. It comes from the people who come to your booth. So where does the inspiration? Because each week, as I said, I read it, you know, every time. And it's like sometimes you get a blog and you go, okay, well, I'm just going to pass that on. But then there's a quote or something and it draws me in and it makes me want to read the whole thing. So where does your inspiration come from?
And it seems timely. And maybe that's, you know, by where I'm at. But it seems like exactly the question of that week of what is universally held, kind of listening, for example, as we are, you know, looking at political upheaval.
So,
finally,
you know,
everywhere, the listening
that's
part?
Actually, I take that graciously with
yes,
with immense gratitude.
And I
feel like my writing work is actually the heart of what drives me in this, because it's really hard to make money in products. I just want to say, if you ever want to talk about the economy of products, I can tell you a lot about that. I wish I'd known it 8 years ago. But, you know, the love work, you know, has really been the thing that's driven me. And so as I was just trying to say that, you know, it's like relationships actually are an organic thing. And when you think about them and you work with them as an organic substance, it holds up more and more. And it's timely if you use that perspective, because, you know, if you're present to the world, which is what you're talking about, you know, we're all really suffering with the same fears and things that actually, lately my favorite thing to tell people is that, you know, don't hold your relationship hostage to the things that are broken inside of you. And so, you know, I don't know, I'm a deep thinker, you know, I read prolifically. I usually have 50 books by my bedside at any given point and a Kindle, you know, and
some products.
I always have products. I do want to throw in another poem
in this case. You just talked about the economy of products and making products. It brought up a beautiful Rumi poem for me. It goes, "I want a kiss from you," said my heart. "Yes, but the price is your life." My heart leaped with joy and said, "Cares about the price."
I know. I always tell my husband that every time we have this crazy, amazing sex, because, you know, really, I'm like up there in like really long orgasmic sex, which I, you know, this is why I can write about it, because you have to know what you're writing about. But I tell him this only costs you your whole life. You know,
right.
You're so wealthy. Look, it's, you know,
right,
at any moment you can have this. So actually, you know, there's been some really interesting studies, just for a fun fact, that came out of the University of Warwick, that people who don't have a good sex life need $100,000 more in the bank to feel as happy as people who have just a garden variety stable sex life. So that's one reason to aspire for that.
So what's the key? You said it's a muscle, or there are tools you can use,
yeah,
you can practice. What is the Yeah.
Just like in 1 second, what's the key to get that?
Yeah. And then we're done for today. And maybe we should do that after the break. How's that? You're listening to Inorganic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we're talking with Wendy Strugar today, the author of Love That Works and a wonderful blog. And many,
Making Love Sustainable.
Yes, Making Love Sustainable and a wonderful line of products, Good Clean Love. What's that website, Wendy?
www.goodcleanlove.com.
Great. And we'll be back with more and the key to all this in a second when we come back right after the break.
My name is Earl Herrick, and I am the owner of Earl's Organic Produce, a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. From the time one could find organic fruits and vegetables only in natural food stores to now, when schools and fine restaurants feature organic, we have been forging relationships with growers for over 20 years. If you want to offer the finest organic produce to your employees or customers, find us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Frye Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frye never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frye organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frye Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at fryewine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Sungevity, a company specializing in residential solar, is on a mission to bring solar to the mainstream market. Sungevity is changing the solar industry by making solar energy simple, efficient, and affordable for every homeowner. In most cases, Sungevity doesn't even need to visit your home to provide an estimate. Just plug in your address and we'll use satellite images and aerial photography to determine your home's solar potential. Go to Sungevity.com or call 866-SUN-4ALL to make going solar a reality today.
Do you feel run down, stressed, overweight, or overloaded? Urban Remedy is a delicious 100% organic juice cleansing program designed to jumpstart your body's natural healing and cleansing abilities. This delicious juice feast, created by leading acupuncturist Nika Pasquale, is rich in vital nutrients, minerals, and enzymes, providing you with all the nutritional nourishment you need to thrive. Delivered directly to your doorstep. Urban Remedy, a convenient way to boost your energy and balance your body. Place your order today at urbanremedy.com. That's urbanremedy.com.
Over 25 years ago, my husband and I started a business around our passion for ginger. We called it the Ginger People. Today, you can find our products at natural food stores nationwide. We love ginger. It's what we do. And the more we learned about the amazing properties of ginger, the more we realized that everyone benefits from eating ginger every day. My name is Abby Leeson, and I am with the Ginger People. To learn more about our products, the goodness of ginger, and how it can improve your health, visit gingerpeople.com. That's gingerpeople.com.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today we're looking at relationships, being present. We're looking at listening, and with us in the studio is Wendy Strugar, the author of Love That Works, as we are discovering intimacy and relationships in the widest sense of the word. But first, before we give you all the answers of how to improve your love life, here is the weekly special, Mark Mulcahy with What's in Season.
Yes, it is that time, and we are talking about watermelons. And who doesn't like watermelons? It's summertime. It's hot out. Big, fat slice of watermelon dripping down your chin, getting your clothes all sticky, spitting seeds. I love watermelon. I absolutely love watermelon. So here's what you might want to know about watermelons this week, is that there are over 1,200 varieties of watermelon in the world. I went, oh my goodness, I've probably only tried 50 of them, right? So I've still got 1,150 watermelons to try. They're a native to the Kalahari Desert in Africa, where they still grow wild. And actually, they were a water source for a lot of the tribes in Africa for many, many years. Of course, red watermelon is the most popular. You can buy picnic watermelons, which are the really large ones, or you can buy family-size icebox melons. And then there's the smaller baby doll melons, too, that a lot of people buy. One of my favorites is a stars and moon watermelon. It has little yellow dots all over the outside. Really nice flavor. But if you're buying watermelon and you pretty much always go to the store and buy red, you may be missing out on something in your life. I would suggest that you try a yellow watermelon, like something like a yellow doll or something like that. They're virtually seedless. They're sweet and crisp. And if you put them in a side-by-side taste test with most red watermelons, they'll win. So consider that next time you're going over there and thumping your melon. And speaking about thumping melons, have you ever walked in a store, maybe you've done this yourself, and you see people picking up a melon and they're tapping on the side of it, and you're wondering, what the heck are these people doing? Well, they're actually trying to find out if the watermelon's ripe. And there are people who believe that this doesn't work. As a produce guy, I believe it does. I picked out many a fine watermelon for people. So what you want to do is you want to pick up the melon and you want to take either your fingers or your knuckles, and some people even use their open palm, and you want to slap against the side of the watermelon. But you want to get a melon that produces a deep, rich, thudding sound, more tenor than bass. And so when you hear that, that's a good one. The skin should be dull and waxy, and the stem should be attached and should be brown and dry. Because if it's green, it was picked too early. And if it's picked too early, it'll never get any flavor. Another way to pick out a really good watermelon, if it's round or oblong, it should be symmetrical. It shouldn't and shouldn't have any flat sides. If it has a flat side, that means it laid on the ground too long. And it should be really heavy for its size. That's that moisture content that Sita and I talk a lot about on the show. There's often on watermelons, there's a yellow spot on the place where it sat on the ground. That's a good thing. You want that spot to be yellow. It's called the field spot. And the deeper the color, the longer the melon was on the vine getting sweet. So those are little tips that you may want to know about. And seedless watermelons, they're just a hybrid that spends more energy putting time into the melon than into producing of seeds. So yes, there are seedless watermelons out there, but I'm going to tell you personally, I actually think seeded watermelons taste better. So that was your What's in Season for the week.
Wonderful. Mark Mukihi with What's in Season here on An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg, and on the show today with us from Eugene, Oregon, is author Wendy Strigar, as we are unraveling the world of love and intimacy. We talked about extended orgasms right before the break, and we are diving right back into it, being present to our food, to flavor, to taste, to our environments, to people we surround ourselves with, including our partners, and to oneself, I would think too, Wendy. Mm-hmm. It is learnable.
Mm-hmm.
Good sex life as well as love, mm-hmm. and those are completely connected.
Right.
I'm still trying to find that quote where actually it says that one without the other doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Wasn't that in your blog too?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, I think so too. That's why I can't find it in these
books. The Good
books.
Clean Love blog.
Yes. The wonderful Good Clean Love blog. What are the tools to get there?
Okay, so as I tried to explain this thing when I was in the booth, and everybody wants the fire, you know, and actually we prematurely leave our relationships because the fire is out, or we don't believe in the fire in our relationship. But really, it's got nothing to do with the fire usually. So the beginning of building fires, I said, is the ground. And so the ground of the relationship is the ground of our life. Buddha said it. Every great teacher that's walked on this planet has said it. How we think is who we are. And so how we think about our relationships is everything. And I'm sure that everybody, the listeners, know people who, you know, you don't have to say something out loud. If somebody's having bad thoughts about you, you know it. And like I said, I would have people walk in my booth and I could tell just from the way they looked at each other that they were having bad thoughts about each other. So, you know, the biggest thinking errors that I would run into over and over again, and not even just about relationship, but, you know, certainly about relationship, is this really ridiculous idea, this Disney idea we have that our relationship should be easy, you know, or they should be easier, or they should get easier.
Or different.
Well, I mean, we don't really believe that they should be effortful. You know, I've actually had people say that right to my face. Organic people, actually. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Those organic people.
And, you know, I was at a green fest or something. He's like, I don't have to work at my marriage at all. I'm like, okay, I wonder what your wife would say about that.
Good luck. Yes.
So that's one big thinking error, because, you know, that's not what relationships are for. The other one is that...
So what are you saying? Let's just break that down a little bit more.
So let me just tell you the second one.
Will have tension because it's two people coming together.
No, it's that the heart... So, you know, at the beginning of my book, the quote is that, you know, love and work are the cornerstones of our humanness. Mm. And they are actually the same thing, you know. So relationships are supposed to teach us to love. That's why we do them. They're not supposed to be easy, you know, and they're not supposed to make you happy. That's the other one. Sorry, everybody. On a good day, they do make you happy. But that certainly is not the barometer of, is that relationship working? You know, there have been sometimes months at a time, you know, when my kid was sick, my husband was working too much. It was not fun. We were not particularly happy, but we were learning really important things about staying. And so sometimes the work of relationships is just about how much strength do I have in myself? You know, and so what you were talking about earlier is only something I've recently learned, and we can talk about it later about positivity. But, you know, how I think about myself, how I've been able to hold myself, has everything to do with what I can do with my husband.
Yes. So how we think is who we are. That's the one thing. That's a big one. And looking at that honestly.
And actually, the easiest way that people can start to work with that, really all you have to do is be vigilant about watching it, you know, paying attention to your thoughts. You don't even have to try to change your thoughts, because you can't, you know, it would be fruitless. But if you just watch them, you know, the average person has 80% of their thoughts are negative. So if you, I did this positivity quest, I'll tell you about it some other time. It took me 82 days of changing a bracelet to actually get rid of all my negative thoughts. And I was watching them all the time. So you can imagine I changed that bracelet about 600 times a day.
You said there are three main tools or things people can do.
Thinking is one. The second one is communication. And, you know, I like to start this communication topic because it's not really so much that you can tell somebody. It's really, you know, we were given two ears and one tongue so that we would listen twice as much. And in relationships, that's really where you learn, you know, and that's actually how you receive. You know, I'm not actually historically a good listener. You could ask my husband about this, but I've really learned a lot because I've been practicing receiving, and listening is such a gift. So often the thing that you're waiting for is right there in front of you. And that's another thing that I've learned as I've been learning to receive in communication and otherwise, is that, you know, a lot of times love is coming right at us, you know, but we decide it doesn't look the way it should. You know, it doesn't have the right clothes on. He hasn't said the right thing. And so we refuse that love. But we're actually like all sort of being hit with a Mack truck of love if we could only actually let go of our idea of what it should look like and listen and receive it.
This is the perfect segue. There's also a beautiful story of this king who sent one of his people out to find the most dangerous or hurtful thing that he could find, and he came back a day later and said, "It's the tongue, my king." Mm-hmm. And he said, "And now go and find the most beautiful thing you can find on this planet." And he came back a day later and said, "It's the tongue, my king," because it can speak of unspeakable beauty. Mm-hmm. And that brings us right to the next guest with us still, Wendy Strigar. Wendy, stay put. We want to dive into the third tool of how you can learn to be more present to intimacy and love in a minute. But with us now, here on An Organic Conversation, calling in from somewhere in Marin County, California, is Carl Priolo. He's a jewelry maker who has been on the show a few months ago when we tackled the topic of sustainable jewelry in his shop, Sophia Mill Valley. He uses reclaimed precious metals, such as reclaimed gold and silver, to make beautiful, beautiful jewelry. And so as a jewelry maker, he has been environmentally and socially conscious, but he's taking it now one step further, a perfect match to this show with his new campaign, Let Love Out. Carl, are you with us?
I am, Helga.
Such a pleasure to have you back. Where are you calling in from?
From Fairfax, my home in Fairfax.
Fairfax, California. Thanks for joining us, for making the time. And tell us about your campaign. We are talking today about relationships and love in the widest sense, from sex to really a collective consciousness. on this planet, being present to what is and the beauty. You created a Let Love Out campaign. How did this come about?
Well, my brother died of AIDS in 1989. And last year, beginning of this year, there was a spate of terrible harassments, muggings, and bullyings that actually led to two suicides of young people being harassed for their sexuality. And it just seemed like just too much time had gone past to let that keep going. And, you know, I don't have any particular tools except the tools of being a jeweler, but I decided to try to make some kind of a symbol that could be worn or shown or, you know, put in a crop circle, you know, something that would just show a solidarity with the idea that not only does all the discrimination against, you know, the LGBT community have to stop, but that it really is time on the planet for all of us to open up and, you know, let love out. That's the idea of it. And it's sort of, you know, both a command and a campaign to do that for all of us.
Yes, and so LGBT, that community, lesbians, gay, bisexual, transgenders. What is the symbol, and how did that inspiration come to you? It looks like it's an eight for infinity with a heart, right?
That's right. It's an infinity symbol with a heart inside. And when my wife and I were talking about trying to come up with a symbol that would sort of stand for this whole campaign, we thought it had to include something universal. This the idea of it being universal beyond just the social political times that we're in, but stand for something larger. And So I just sketched out the idea of exactly that, a heart in an infinity symbol on the back of an envelope. And it's, you know, just a very dynamic symbol. People have actually used it as tattoos and everything. And, of course, I make jewelry out of it, bracelets and necklaces and earrings and any kind of way just to show solidarity with the concept for people who wear it.
And it is a very beautiful symbol that you came up with, Carl. Carl,
We're both wearing it actually at the moment.
And I want one.
Yes, Wendy will get one.
And when I first heard about your campaign, it stopped me for a moment. My friend Ushi told me about the campaign, and I just stopped for a moment and I thought, you know, for some people, love never comes to their life for whatever reason that is. And when you finally find it, to not be able to express it in the world. Is I just thought, why would anybody not want to let somebody express their love for another person in the world? And I was truly moved by this campaign that you are bringing to the world. And I just want to say thank you for doing that. And I hope that more of us can continue to recognize that, you know, we just need more love. And so,
yeah, I think that's the heart of the whole idea. It has both a sort of a social political context, which is just fighting social political discrimination, whether it's, you know, against marriage equality or even against, you know, interracial relationships or interfaith relationships. It has that aspect, but it also has a personal, to me anyway, personal universal aspect in the sense that you're talking about, that, you know, we all need to open up. It's a struggle in each of us to open up and express our true selves and, you know, to free ourselves of whatever inhibitions hold us back, wherever they came from. And, you know, just the belief that opening our hearts is fundamental to becoming, you know, really human. That's sort of the basis of it. And to see that kind of discrimination operating in the world is really discouraging. And so that's what this campaign is, a small attempt at trying to combat.
So, Carl, now you launched it early this year, I believe, Let Love Out campaign, and people can check out letloveout.com. really not specifically, even though inspired by the story of your brother, who gay himself was not able to express his preferences and his love, and being scrutinized all his life. It's really more for the universal dedication to love. What has the response been so far? You make beautiful jewelry with that. You have these symbols, or that Let Love Out symbol, but you said people have, you know, used it as an idea for a tattoo. What's the feedback that you've gotten? This only started a few months ago, and you already have, 6,000 people on your Facebook, Let Love Out. What's the feedback you're getting from people?
Oh, the feedback has been very, very, very positive all over. Even without knowing what the image stands for, it just seems to communicate. And of course, in our community here, all the political ramifications of it inspire people, and so it's been very, very positive. Actually, we're going to have a presence in the Gay Pride Festival in Dallas next month, I believe, and there seems to be a lot of response all across the country, and I'd love for it to grow.
Well, thanks for your creation. Thanks for that message. I know you're donating a percentage of the proceeds back to social causes. So any purchase actually goes much further than just expressing, just quote-unquote, expressing love.
There are a series of causes you can choose which you'd like to contribute to at checkout at the website.
Yes, letloveout.com. Again, with us, Carl Priolo, calling in from Fairfax, California. Carl, continue your beautiful work, whatever it will be in the world of jewelry. It seems like with your eco bracelets and sustainable or reclaimed precious metals, you're already, you know, ventured into an area that most jewelers are still a little bit behind in. And now letloveout.com, your new product, a new campaign showing solidarity for love in whatever ways it may manifest. Thank you for that. Thanks for the work. We'll have you back soon.
Thanks, Helga.
Thanks so much for your time. Carl Priolo, letloveout.com. With us still, Wendy Strigar, the author of Love That Works. We want to hear more, Wendy, about all the tips and tricks that you use, and the tools and the practice people can engage in, when we come back right after the break. I'm Helga Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation, and stay tuned for more on love and being present to our relationships.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Produce is ever-changing, seasons coming and going. At Earls Organic, we have been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. Since 1988, Earls Organic Produce has been establishing strong relationships with growers and developing a deep understanding of the seasons, so you can offer the most delicious organic produce to your customers, staff, and clients year-round. For organic produce, visit Earls Organic Produce at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Sungevity, a company specializing in residential solar, is on a mission to bring solar to the mainstream market. Sungevity is changing the solar industry by making solar energy simple, efficient, and affordable for every homeowner. In most cases, Sungevity doesn't even need to visit your home to provide an estimate. Just plug in your address and we'll use satellite images and aerial photography to determine your home's solar potential. Go to Sungevity.com or call 866-SUN-4ALL to make going solar a reality today.
Trace, the new signature restaurant at the W San Francisco, is committed to creating an enriching and thoughtful culinary experience. By fusing the vibrant local personality of the Bay Area with a dedication to socially responsible food, Trace ensures that all ingredients are traceable, back to their natural origins, locally sourced, and sustainable. Trace opens August 29th. For reservations, visit trace-sf.com, trace-sf.com, or call 415-817-7836.
Hi, my name is Abby Leeson, and I am the co-founder of The Ginger People. You can find our products in natural food stores near you, from delicious ginger drinks, sauces, spreads, ginger chews, baked goods, to skincare products. We love ginger. It's what we do. Add the benefits of ginger to your life, and you get that little kick, too. I am Abby Leeson, and I'm with the Ginger People. For inspiration around ginger, go to gingerpeople.com. That's gingerpeople.com.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today's topic is about love. Love, 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 and being present to the relationships that make up our experience of life and really define the quality of our lives. With us in the studio is Wendy Stegar, an author, entrepreneur, a lover, whose mission is to encourage sustainable, loving relationships, all the way from Eugene, Oregon, joining us today. And Wendy, it's so wonderful to have you. We, just before the break, kind of finished off the tools and things people can do to be present to love, and we want to dive in that again. But first, here's another weekly favorite. Uh-huh. Here is Chef Sita with the Holistic Bite.
Thanks, Helga. Well, our What's in Season produce item of the week is watermelon. And we're talking about love. And I think that that's appropriate because I love the color of watermelon. I think it's so appropriate for this topic. And I really hope that all of you listeners love watermelon so much because you're going to be seeing it in your backyard barbecues for a good few more weeks. And it's hitting its prime, so it should be the best it's been all summer. So watermelon is so good for you. I say that with every single produce item, and I just want to drill this in your heads. Produce is so good for you. And thanks so much to the Produce for Better Health Foundation for proving that with broccoli and other cruciferous vegetables. We talked about that at Green News. So there's a high water content with watermelon, obviously, given the name. It's about 92% water. And I said that with honeydew is about 90. We're looking at the most hydrating fruit that you can imagine. So this is just the right time to drink it. And I think it's so good in beverages. It's great. Watermelon margaritas are just like so phenomenal by themselves. If you've not had one, definitely mix one of those up. And I did a honeydew coconut agua fresca a couple weeks ago or recently. You'll find it on our website in organicconversation.com, and you should definitely make that with watermelon this weekend. But I've got another watermelon recipe for you. Before we get to that, another amazing thing about watermelon is it's really high in lycopene, and people usually think about lycopene as being something in tomatoes, which it is, but it's also in high concentration in watermelon too. Lycopene is a very, very powerful antioxidant that has been shown to be protective against all kinds of cancers, particularly prostate cancer and colorectal cancer. So definitely enjoy that watermelon and feel good about it. It's high in vitamin C as well, so it's great for your immune system, which I think is important because for me, the biggest summer buzzkill is a summertime cold. So support your immune system with the vitamin C in your watermelon. Enjoy it in agua fresca and use it to make sweet and savory skewers. I like to pair it with goat or sheep's feta and some fresh mint leaves and a really simple raspberry vinaigrette. And it makes for an easy snack. It's very, I don't know, it's fresh and it's also creamy because of the goat feta. And I think that if you choose a goat or a sheep feta, it's going to offer you a lot more than a cow's milk feta because goat and sheep are both more digestible and they have more protein. So you're looking at something that is, it's just going to go a step further than your traditional feta cheese that you would buy at the store. So So really easy to make. And I think that if you wanted to make a dairy-free version, we had one of the students, we served this at the open houses for Bowman College this summer, and one of the students came up with a dairy-free version, very love-inspired. All of the colors are red and pink. It had cherry tomatoes and sliced dried fig to replace the goat feta. It was to die for. I think I had 20 skewers myself. I was like standing in the corner chowing them down. So check out the recipe on our website, anorganicconversation.com, or on Facebook. That's Your Holistic Bite.
And that's Chef Sita. Wow, I feel a cold coming on, literally.
And
I think it's just my
watermelon.
I do need and one of Chef Sita's agua frescas and the skewer too. That's my body's response. Yes, watermelon as it drips down your chin. We are right back to the topic of today, Love That Works. Kind of a show, a guide to enduring intimacy, also the title of Wendy Strigar's book, who's joining us today from Eugene, Oregon. Wendy, the key of how to sustain being present.
So the other piece that we didn't talk about was the water in the relationship.
Communication is one.
So yeah, how you communicate and listening is such a big part of that, you know, and because
what's two?
Yeah, so that was the second one. How you think is the first one, and the third one is how you show up for each other. And so the idea of how you show up is, you know, that can mean so many different things to different people, but basically it has this sense of having somebody at your back. So, you know, like my husband's never watched a chick flick with me his whole life, you know. So, but when I used to believe that that mean he didn't really want to be with me, then all the ways that he did show up were invisible to me. So really coming clear on how it is what that means for him and how he shows up. I mean, he's come with his work clothes, his doctor clothes, and changed my tire. That's showing up for him. And that's for real, you know. And so you just have to come to a common agreement about what it means, because what that means then is that you feel safe in the relationship. You feel like somebody's at your back. And really, if you don't have that sense of safety in some ways, it's very hard to explore the really vulnerable, deep places that the fire bring up of learning about our erotic selves.
Which, and we want to finish the show, of course, with the erotic. with
erotic.
That part, that one, I can't even speak it. Well, but it just brings what you just said, how to show up and how to recognize that the partner actually is showing up in whatever his or her form, brings us right back to listening to the voices, right? You could completely ignore everything they do and you know, believe for yourself that you're not safe. Or you can recognize everything they do.
Right. It's the same thing what you were saying about, like, actually being able to bear witness to the beauty in the world. You know, really, if we were looking for love,
so when
instead
you,
of not looking for right. it, if we were not, if we stop looking for all the ways somebody wrongs us, if we stop looking for all the ways we're disappointed, and we actually just intended 2 hours a day to only look for the loving things coming at us, we would be overcome by them. Just like the beauty in the world, as hard as things are, and they are, this unemployment. I mean, there's so many problems we could talk about. But the truth is that the sun is shining down in San Francisco Bay right now. And there's these incredible scents everywhere.
So what are you, just to play devil's advocate for a sec, what if you don't know if you can trust your voices? Knowing that, yes, you think the partner is not showing up and the partner actually is not showing up. What do you do with that? When do you know you're right? Do you consult with friends? Do you...
So
I mean, you could call Wendy Strigar and she will tell you right face blank. Go to her booth at the next festival. But
the thing is that, you know, it's not, you know,
how do you find out?
You know, there's a lot of relationships that should never have been started, you know, and some of those are incredibly harmful. Some of them are physically harmful. I would never advocate to actually preserve a relationship that's harmful, you know. But again, it's about what we're looking for, right? So, I mean, you know, and it's true about almost everything. When something is really meant to end, there's no question. You don't know. I mean, it's not like you're asking. You know you need to go. You know, it's the same thing. I constantly ask this about whatever it is that I'm struggling with. The end is never really a question. The question is, how do we learn to sustain? And, you know, I had this long conversation with my husband once. He's a man of very few words. And all these people were divorcing around us. And actually, you know, and when you're surrounded by people who divorce, that raises your rate of divorce by 75%. You're 75% more likely to get divorced or separate from your partner when you're hanging out with people who are divorced. So they make it look so good and glamorous. Oh, I have so much time on my hands. It's not that good and glamorous. We're herd animals. We're actually meant to be with each other. So, you know, anyway, he said, you know, Wendy, sometimes, and he's a psychiatrist, right? So he's like dealing with sort of an end of a spectrum, right? And there's people I just refer to him. I'm just like, you know what? This is not my job, but here's a card. Anyway, he just said, you know, Wendy, it's really about, are you able to look for what there is to stay for? And I think that's actually the best answer I can give to the question.
Beautiful.
And maybe there is nothing to stay for. Then you know that.
Say that again.
Well, this is Frank, actually, my right. Dr. Frank.
Shout
who
out
says
for
this.
Frank. Thank you.
He said, brilliant, you know, are you able quote. Are you able to look for what there is to stay for? And so if there is really nothing to stay for, then you know it. And, you know, the other answer to the question about how to trust your voice. You know, for me, when I started my positivity quest close to 20 months ago, I was in Hawaii. The weather was beautiful. I was with the people I loved most, and I couldn't be happy. Anyway, I saw Julie and Julia, which is a lovely food show about food. Mm-hmm. My daughter's totally a foodie, and she loves the Food Channel and watches all those cupcake wars all the time. And so we were watching that, and I decided actually on that day that I was going to commit to learning to see if I could become positive, because I had studied a little bit of positive psychology. And one of the things that I learned in that about trusting my own voice is just any kind of meditation. Just be quiet for a minute. You know, like even for 3 minutes, if you can just shut off that noise that we call our ego mind and get quiet, you know, you can hear a voice you can trust. But so many of us have such little access to that inner voice. You know, it's not the one that shouts at you like the TV or, you know, the stuff on the street. But we all have access to that. And that is actually the place where our capacity to feel love and give love starts.
And actually, yes, Mark, in a second, I just want to address, are you able to look for what is, you know, why you would stay?
What there is to stay for.
It's beautiful because there are moments where you are no longer willing to look for that. And that's fine too, right?
And then that's true. And you, when you're in that place, you know that's the truth.
Right. And it's a difficult place to hold. Yes, we are herd animals. Mm-hmm. And that loneliness is tough, but I do have, in that regard again, a wonderful poem by Hafiz, absolutely clear. Don't surrender your loneliness so quickly. Let it cut more deep. Let it ferment and season you as few human or even divine ingredients can. Something missing in my heart tonight has made my eyes so soft, my voice so tender, my need of God absolutely clear.
And how am I supposed to follow that?
Yeah, I know. Actually, you know,
Hafiz, the easiest to follow.
That's
if
the
we
easiest
are present,
to follow.
Really.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I know that I have to usually take a moment to be present with those things for it. So often it just takes me by surprise to come right back into a radio show again.
Mm-hmm. It's a very beautiful poem.
It's absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And Wendy, when I'm listening to you talk and when I read your blogs and when I've looked through your book, I haven't completely read it yet, but it all makes sense. And yet, for many of us, we make it so difficult to listen and to communicate and to look for what's good in our partnerships in life. Mm-hmm. And where does that come from? I mean,
I feel like actually human beings are actually sort of, you know, left to their own devices. I mean, just look at the world around us, right? I mean, you know, so humanity is actually one of the only animal species on the planet that, you know, left to its own devices, you know, we slip into the lowest common denominator and we actually celebrate it. Like I said, I was at Alcatraz yesterday, you know, which is, you know, this unbelievably desperate, desolate place. But, you know, to the qualities of altruism, of love, of, you know, our capacity to actually create peace, you know, in our own internal system and with other people. Those are things we have to cultivate. We have to actually intend them, you know. So intention really is such an incredibly powerful thing. And, you know, if you're just sort of sleepwalking through life, you know, and you're sort of trying to consume your way to happiness, you know, then you're not actually creating the space to look for the things that mean anything, that that count. You know, I just want to tell this story really quick. My son almost died last fall. I have four children, and my third son, what he was doing on the roof, I don't know, but he fell off a 10-foot roof onto his head. It's a total miracle, actually. He's my son that I have with me. But it's those moments, actually, where you realize so deeply and profoundly what it is that you care about in life. And some people, actually, that's an initiation. Shamans say that's an initiation. But really, just actually for a second, scare yourself and imagine you might never actually see the person that you love, whether it's your kid, your father, your spouse. It doesn't matter. Imagine this is the last day you have something to say to them, and think of what is in your heart, and scare yourself every day. Scare yourself every day, and you will suddenly start seeing the world, because it is so beautiful. We take so much for granted. Most of what we take for granted is how we love each other, and we don't cultivate it. You know, I mean, when you think about the hours and hours people spend at trying to make money, what if you were trying to make love with that time?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and fantastic. And I've actually found this to be true in my own life, where I go, I'll often start a conversation at the barber shop or someplace around, and instantly people start saying, oh, did you see the stock market? Did you see all this stuff? And I'll say, oh, did you hear about how they're taking empty lots in New York and making them into garden plots using milk crates, and that they can move them and they're growing more local produce? And I come up with two or three of those things, and all of a sudden I see a shift in the room or in the conversation, because people go, oh, yeah, people are pretty cool. People are really doing some really good things. Mm-hmm. And so that following up on what you just said, Wendy, is it really is true. You get to choose where you want to think, live, be, listen, you know, communicate. And it's our choice.
And the whole thing is that changes everything, but not just for us, but for everybody. Because it's actually that work of love, you know, of being able to receive. It's like, I don't just do that and bring it into me. It goes into everybody. You know, it goes into every person's life, even people you don't touch. Like, I don't even know who reads my blog. I actually write that blog, and the Positivity Quest, that's my work. You know, that's how I'm trying to learn about how to live on this earth and really love it. And the fact that it comes to people like you who do such inspirational work, that is such a blessing. And I feel, I can't tell you, it makes me want to cry, you know, that I inspire people like you.
Yes, well, ditto. And it's so true. As you inspire us, we inspire you. When you bring up something really positive at a rather negative situation, it's almost a conversation killer sometimes.
But the thing is that it's a really interesting thing. I've studied positivity so much. And, you know, the truth is that one negative person can bring down 10 positive people. But one positive person can also change, you know, a room of negative people.
That's right. Absolutely.
We manifest in the presence of the other, be it organic carrots or beautiful blogs, in this case, written by Wendy Strigar. Thank you so much for being part of the show today, Wendy. Love That Works, the author of The Guide to Enduring Intimacy, and fantastic website with lots of wonderful organic products to sustain love, keep your sex life interesting and beautiful, and, you know, so much to learn physically, emotionally, in your heart. GoodCleanLove.com, the website, GoodCleanLove.com, and clean in this regard to the products of having no parabens or any chemicals whatsoever. Thank you, Wendy. Pleasure to have you.
Yeah, it was really a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Mark, and that brings us almost to the end of the show, but not before the mailbag. Again, we love to listen to you, our listeners. So it's a listening session. If you have comments, please send them to share@anorganicconversation.com. We heard from Rachel from Mexico, who is on fire, who is really communicating with us. She says, thank you for this awesome show on the landscape of hunger. A couple of weeks ago, irrigating food deserts. She's working in southern Arizona and the borderlands, partnering with Why Hunger and the Tucson Food Bank. So if you haven't listened to that show, check out Landscape of Hunger, Irrigating Food Deserts. That was a great one. And Mark, what did you get?
And we also heard from Patricia Schott from South King County in Washington. And she says, I'm involved in a small grassroots organization called Involved Democracy. That's involveddemocracy.org. And our goal is to educate the public concerning issues that are important to them. and they're planning on showing Food Inc. on August 28th at the Enumclaw Public Library, and they wanted us to come speak, and unfortunately we cannot, but the next time we're in the area, we'd appreciate the invitation. So if you'd like to have us come to your town, just send an invitation. If we're out there, we'll gladly come. And now we'd like to finish this show, this beautiful show, with something I love every week called Helga's Organic Moment.
Yes, and this time I'm sticking with Hafiz. Can't go wrong there. The subject tonight is love. The subject of this show was love. And one of his favorite poems is "It Happens All the Time in Heaven." It happens all the time in heaven, and someday it will begin to happen again on earth. That men and women who are married, and men and men who are lovers, and women who give each other light, will get down on their knees, and while so tenderly holding their lover's hand, with tears in their eyes, will sincerely speak, saying, "My dear, how can I be more loving to you? How can I be more kind?"
Thanks, Helga. That was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thanks for listening.
An Organic Conversation is a production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producer is Lauren Mulcahy. If you missed parts of this show or for any other show, go to iTunes or anorganicconversation.com. We're your hosts, Helga Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
And we'll be back right here, same place, same time next week. See you then.
Bye-bye.
Fat Charlie the Archangel sloped into the moon. He said, "I have no opinion about this. And I have no opinion about..."